First Chronicles chapter 15. If you were not here last week, I have, Frenchie, you made 25 sets. So I have some notes for 25 people. If I can have a couple guys pass those out, these are the same notes as last week and will be the same notes next week. First Chronicles chapter 15. Nothing is new. They're exactly the same as you had last week at this time. All right. Somebody's missing notes. Oh, there's only one Cliff. Let's stand, please. First Chronicles 15. Last week we spent 30 minutes or a little bit longer, but not a lot longer, doing an introduction. Now everyone look at me, please. I am teaching principles. There's a problem with teaching principles. Not many people know how to think and apply principles. People usually prefer pastors doing this. This song is a bad song, which means that allows the person in the pew to do what? Agree with a pastor or to make that very intelligent statement. Well, I just disagree. We're not talking about your opinions tonight. We're talking about ideas. So yes, do I think everybody in this church believes what I believe? No. I believe the vast majority of us could go any number of directions if we showed up in the wrong church long enough. Because I've seen it in churches. Hey, I've seen it in the biggest fundamentalist church in Chicago that does this. And today in 2019, they're not sure who they are. Did you hear that language? So I would like to think, but I would say most of us in this room, if we're honest with ourselves, we do what we do because we're here. But if we went to a place that had a group of people on the stage holding microphones and we'd be just fine with that too. Uh-oh. Or if we had, sorry, Sparky, I love you, Sparky. If we decided to start having drama on Sunday morning, you'd be fine with that. You wouldn't even know why it's not biblical. It wouldn't cross your mind to ask. So there's three principles we talked about last week. There is the regulative principle, which says what? Scripture regulates worship. What is not commanded is forbidden. Which just means, folks, God tells us how to worship God. Is that a fair statement? Another principle, which was from the Anglican Church and the Lutheran Church, I'm talking 1500 and 1600s, was called, well, it's in your notes, the normative principle, which is Scripture plus tradition regulates worship. What did that principle teach? Anything that is not forbidden is allowed. Which is the reason in an Anglican church, and I'm not talking about the liberal ones, there are still conservative ones. There is small slivers of that still in America that you could hear the gospel in an Anglican church. That would be about one out of every 100 or 150 or 200 Anglican churches. But they would still do things and you're like, because the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not, and it's part of Christian tradition, they continue to do it. Got it? But that's not where we're at today. We're at the third point. Whatever. You know where I learned that word? In this church. From a specific person.
whatever.
No matter what I said, that's what that person said to me. The whatever principle, what regulates worship? Pretty much whatever you want to do. So if you want a stripper pole, 1 Chronicles 15. We'll try to be done in 35 minutes. David made him houses in the cities of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for it a tent. Then David said, now by the way, this is already after Perez Uzzah. Are we clear? David has already been disappointed. He's already lost somebody. This is after that. He said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Why did he say that? Because Scripture regulates worship, and that's exactly what the law said. Duh. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it. And then it goes ahead and says he assembled it and blah, blah, blah. He gives all names and that stuff. Go to verse 12. And said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your children, or your brethren, excuse me, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For, why? Because you did it not at the first, the Lord hath made a breach upon us. For that we sought him. In the ESV, they're going to say it slightly different, but it's the same idea. We didn't seek him after the due order. Otherwise, we decided how we would worship him, and God was not happy. Yes, I believe in the regulatory principle of worship. I would expect you to be able to articulate it, because it is what our church is about. And it's just this simple. Scripture regulates, actually, Scripture alone regulates worship. Or what is not commanded, which means by direct teaching, direct commands, or some kind of examples. Whatever is not commanded is forbidden. We may not add and do our own thing. So undoubtedly tonight, some of you are going to be nervous as a cat. I'm not mad at anybody. This is not about anybody, except it's about biblical worship. Now, I want to say this before we pray. Forgive me. Ladies, Pandak, and Miss Hall, and whoever else sang. Rhonda, who else? Yes, Stacy. You have to understand, I do not look when women come on the platform. Did you ever notice? No, you wouldn't. I close my eyes always. Do you know why? Where do you look when you're behind a woman? I saw a guy, Jerry Falwell, and he was not having bad thoughts. There was good-looking women standing in front of him, and they were singing, and he was looking and smiling. And I thought, no, no, no. So, see, you are so observant, you have never observed that, and I've only been doing that for 23, almost 4 years. I don't know who's here, but I want to say this to you. That was a beautiful worship song. It was an individual worship of God in creation. We're not discussing that. We're discussing what? Corporate worship. You can worship God on your own, but you cannot worship God corporately on your own. And you're commanded to gather with God's people on the Lord's Day to worship God corporately. Certainly, I'm not belaboring a point. When I go walking, and I don't have your color vision issues, and ladies, don't come up to me and talk to me about fuchsia and stuff. But I'll walk out of my house, and if it's the right time of the year, the sun sometimes will be lifting off the lake or setting or whatever it's doing. And if it's just the right, the moon. I don't even know what I'm talking about. The moon. By the way, you've seen it, haven't you? If you look at the moon at the right time, it's like, do you not feel overwhelmed with God's glory? But that's not public corporate worship. That's important too. That's personal worship. All right, let's pray. We're going to get started. Father, thank you for this time. Bless this night, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We're not going to cover any material in your notes except towards the bottom of the page, if that's okay. My son, was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Some of you don't know John very well, especially since he's been an adult. John and Amy both have a very good sense of humor. You know how mean Amy is to me. And she prides herself in that giftedness. The only person worse in this room is, we all know who she is. She's seated right back here. My son doesn't use... Nancy, what are you turning around for? John is worse than Amy. John never wants to pay me a compliment. I don't care what it would be, somehow John would make me look bad, which is fine. I'm good with that. I am the original bad dad. And by the way, John's the one that invented that name, not Amy. John said something to me, and I'm speaking to Frenchie. People wonder why I say Frenchie, because Frenchie's up there by himself and he can zone out. And people up in balconies normally zone out that are in sound booths. It's a way of escaping church, being in church but not part of church. I'll speak to all of you. John said something to me that was a game changer for me. But I never understood the implications of what he said, and you're going to hear it now. John looked at me one time, 3 or 4 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and said, Dad, I am thankful for one thing from growing up. And I'm like, John, thankful? Oh, wait a minute. He's very thankful to my wife. He says a million good, but not to me, ever. Nancy's on a tear tonight. Have you ever noticed who's right in front of Nancy, by the way? Have you noticed? Let's get back to my story. John said to me this funny statement. He said, Dad, I'm glad, I don't know the exact words, I didn't grow up in a drinking culture. When he said that to me, I said, what do you mean by that, John? His wife's family, which I love, Tiffany, she's not this way. They're unsaved people. And this is John's basic drift. He says, everything they do, stop, everything they do, did you hear the everything part? Is an excuse to get back to drinking. Everything. Christmas party. Birthday party. 4th of July. Friday night. How about this one? Super Bowl. Every activity in life is an excuse to get back to drinking. Now, you know what? That's a drinking culture. And by the way, some of you were there, and most of you know what I mean. But that's not our problem. Now I'm coming home to talk to you. I've come to realize Christians have a different problem that don't drink. They have an entertainment culture. Everything they do is an excuse to get back to entertainment. Everything they do is getting, by the way, they're looking at this all the time to get back to entertainment. Everything is entertainment. Some people have a little better form of entertainment. Some people are lowbrow entertainment. But their whole existence, when you get to the heart of who they are, they have nothing to say except talking about entertainment. Do you know why we have a problem with worship? Answer the question. We can't distinguish between Christianity and entertainment. I'm going to come back to that a little bit further. Was something about Mayor de Blasio that I saw on Fox News, and Fox News missed the whole point. That's a shock. In your notes, down towards the bottom of the first page, I talk about the elements of worship. My friend, these are the only things we can do in a church service. The reading, explaining, and applying of Scripture. Praying to God, by whom? The congregation. Thank you, Frenchie. Singing to God, by whom? Now, that doesn't mean we can't have solos and choir specials, but the predominance of a church service, When we come together to worship God, when we come together, the predominance must be we sing to God, pray to God, and give to God. I think you could put in that giving testimony, which would be a form of giving thanks or praying. Yes, I'm okay with that. Fellowship one with another and observing the ordinances. That's worship. You say, where is my drama? What about my dancing girls? What about, well, there's your problem. Scripture alone regulates, say it with me, Scripture alone regulates worship. That's it. Now, what happens is we, and I'm only going to go to two of them tonight. The first thing that happens is we find added elements. People decide that what God wants us to do is not enough to attract people. Therefore, we add elements to get people's attention. So if you went to certain churches in the 70s, you would have elephant rides. Carnivals. Am I speaking to anybody that's awake in this room? Yet they're old-fashioned fundamentalist. Where did elephant rides come from? What's that got to do with Christianity? What does it have to do with Christianity? And how many of those people stayed in Christianity that rode the elephant? Zero. Of course not. In your notes, added elements. What started after the Civil War, imperceptibly in the late 1860s, became a tidal wave or a tsunami. We started with what I will call this, individualism, of course. Individualism and sentimentalism. You say, what does this look like in church music? I am so glad you ask. Do you have a hymn book? Take your hymn book. 573. Some of you have turned the page because you're not really thinking about learning anything tonight. You're interested in turning pages and taking notes. By the way, I'm interested in communicating ideas. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Warren, entertainment, sentimentalism and all of this? Friend, look up here. Let me give you the drift. If you read music, I'm talking about words. If we sing the song, O Sacred Head, what a song. The difference between that, and Sam was here last week, one of his sons is sick today. Sam said, yeah, the Americans bring that garbage music to India where you sing the same song, the same stanza 300 times. I will praise you. I will really praise you. I will praise you louder. I will praise you quiet. I will praise you faster. And after a while, oh, you forgot. What's the first word you were saying? Music from the beginning of the church age, and by the way, some of our hymns go back second or third century. Did you know that? The doxology and some of those go back. They have roots way back. Up through the Reformation, after the Reformation, until about the Civil War, most music was this. We would call them hymns, and those hymns, are you ready? And you might want to write this down. They were about singing to God or about God. So we sang songs about God or about Christ. Does this make sense to you? We sang a song, page 299. Do you all know the song? We sang it this morning. I'm guessing it's a Wesley song. Is that correct? It's about, and the whole song is what? It's about what Christ has done for us. Are y'all with me? We went from singing songs about God and Christ and what Christ has done for us to this. Listen, we're going to 573 in a minute. Then we started singing songs. And by the way, the change is not a problem if you retain the hymns. When we moved into what's called the gospel songs, Fanny Crosby, all of a sudden the music radically changes. You say, what's the difference? They still retain the stuff about Christ, but there's a whole lot more I, and I. Somewhere in the 1980s, we just dropped the God out of the equation, and now we sing about ourselves. Hello? Remember de Blasio? If I forget, remind me when we look at this song. Some of you, by the way, are not paying one iota of attention. It's an embarrassment. Now, read the song with me. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him as the redeemed by his side, I shall stand. Do you start to see, is there anything wrong with the song? The problem is, when you drop the hymns, this starts to sound a great deal like I. Now, I've done this before, don't you remember? Let's just go through the song, instead of saying I, make it plural. And see the change. Would you do it with me? I'll read it. When our life's work is ended and we cross the swelling tide, when that bright and glorious morning we shall see, we shall know our Redeemer when we reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome. I know us doesn't work. Sorry, Jenny, the poetry's wrong. Look me in the eyes. Do you not know that people today cannot distinguish between worshiping God and worshiping themselves? Now, I don't like the song much anymore, because churches that sing that, they have people, hey, that never, ever, ever, ever mature past their emotions. And they make excuses like, that's just the way I am. No, that's the kind of music you've been singing. Drop your music about yourself and start singing, O Sacred Head, every morning when you wake up. All of a sudden, the world doesn't revolve around you. I saw one of my theological heroes on TV this week. Lord only knows how I saw it. Danny DeVito. You know, he's super funny when he's clean. Danny DeVito said, do you know how many actors it takes to screw a light bulb in? He said, just one. He says, the actor holds the light bulb, and the entire universe turns the light bulb in. Can I tell you what? You know what drives many Christians? They don't even understand. Hey, do you know there used to be people that never thought about how they felt 24 hours a day? We're in the most depressed generation in the history of mankind. One-third of Americans, one-third are on antidepressants. And of that one-third, probably one-third to a half of them are on two or three antidepressants. Tom. And then the kids take the parents' antidepressants and mix them with alcohol. Why? You're not the center of the universe. Now, you ever heard of Mayor de Blasio? He's a real brilliant guy from out east. Fox News missed the point, of course, because they were just going after him. He was in a church someplace in the South. It was a black church. And I use that very specifically. I'm using that adjective, not that they were just black in the church. It's a certain form of everything. He went there, of course, for political points. I don't know anything about the service, but they were going after him because, did anybody see this? Mayor de Blasio was in this church service, so-called church service. And the church congregation and the little worship team up front were singing R. Kelly. Now, hold on. And everybody was flying. I think I can fly. No joke. Now, they were going after de Blasio for what? Associating with R. Kelly. My thought was, when did a church of people that think they're Christians start singing songs about themselves and think they're worshiping God? I'm asking you a question, and you don't have an answer, do you? We now have people in churches sing about themselves thinking they're singing about God. By the way, the R. Kelly song actually is an okay song. It's a pop song. Nothing wrong with it. I don't think the song's bad. But I'm not singing it in church. You say, why? It's about... we're here to worship God, not to worship. So here's church music. From the beginning of church music until the 1800s, music was about God. Fanny Crosby and that whole generation of gospel songwriters moved music from about God to how I feel about God. Somewhere, 70s and 80s and 90s, we just dropped the God part altogether. And it's just about I. And you know why we can do that? Because we're a culture of what? Culture of what? By the way, I want to ask you a question. When you applaud, with the exception of, if we have little children, I have no problem us applauding them because we're trying to encourage them to sing. But if you applaud what happens up here, do you know what you're doing? You're being entertained. Because at the entertainment, when the entertainment is finished, what do you do? Wait a minute. In a church service, who should be pleased? You or God? So who should be giving the applause? We're applauding ourselves. We're in love with ourselves. Well, I can see that went over well. Some of you wouldn't, by the way, some of you wouldn't even know the difference. I could bring in some of that good Gaither music. Some of you think you're in heaven. Until you listen to the words and half of it, you realize half of the songs they sing are not Christian songs. I don't know what they are. They're religious songs. They're religious songs and they're emotional, but they're not Christian. But hey, I like them. Okay. Next page. Now I get a little closer to home. We went then, somewhere in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, music moved away from the, they included the individualism and the sentimentalism. Do you understand individualism? It's all about me. Sentimentalism, it's all about my emotions, yes? So we move from God to how I feel about God to how I feel eventually. But somewhere in this 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, my wife can testify better than me, Singspiration music, John W. Peterson, Wurtson, it goes on and on, moved to the big band sound. And it came right into fundamentalism, Tim Kowak, because you've seen them. How do you know what it was big band? Because you would have church song leaders leading the music with what kind of an instrument? And they were not playing the trombone like he plays the trombone. They were playing it exactly like it was played in the big band. Hold it. You say, I'm offended. I like big band. I didn't say you can't like big band. Big band music is not Christian music. It's not. Christian music is not entertainment. And all of a sudden you had guys up here sliding and doing all this stuff. And everybody out there was very well entertained. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Christian music didn't go bad with rock music. It went bad in the 1800s. There were songs that Ira Sankey sang in the Moody revivals, which were on the whole good. He sang songs that were not discernibly Christian at all, that appealed to your love of your mother to get saved. I love my mother, but that's not a Christian motivation to get saved. Everything became sentimentalism, individualism, and the big band, and I love that Yiddish word, schmaltz. Listen to, by the way, does anybody sing Singspiration, Jenny? Remember you had all those books and you looked at them? You can't, that stuff is terrible today because it sounds so out of date. Wait till this nasty music people listen to today in 20 years. Everybody's going to be going, all right, I better move on because I'm going to have people throwing things at me. We moved into the 60s and 70s, into the rock era. Now, this is Kevin Bowder. This is not Ralph Warren, but I think he's correct. He says he believes churches are now moved, and you have to take this in its symbolism, into the pornographic era. Most music is now becoming about sex. Or it's very sexually oriented. So, what might some added elements be? Here are some. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Journaling. I read a whole book that said, if you want to have a good church on the sides of your building, you need to set up stations where right in the middle, people can go over and just take notes in their journal. Okay? But I don't find that in the New Testament. How about this? Which way do we go? We will go down. We'll go to the right, excuse me. We have, how about this? Art. I heard another guy said you have to have art stations in your church. Have you ever seen my art? Wait a minute. Where is art found in the New Testament worship? Answer the question. Yes. Another, how about this? Altars. You know, in Baptist churches, they talk about altar calls. You probably haven't heard me use that phrase much. You know why? Because I started to realize that really doesn't have anything to do with the scripture. An altar? An altar? Okay. Everybody's going to be upset at me now. How about this? Incense. Well, actually, the first I is idols. Excuse me. Idols. The next one is incense. The next one is my favorite, bars. We now have churches with bars in them. Folks, there is a large movement. Look at me in the eyes. Brian, you know this. In the Reformed side of things. In the Bible-believing side of things. There's a whole group of these guys. We have them right here in Chicago. There's this guy that has a beard down to here. I won't say his name because it's not important. And he has tats. He has his tats. And he's preaching Reformed, Bible-believing doctrine. And they smoke cigars. And it's the only place you can smoke legally now, at church. Yes. Of course, my favorite is craft beer. Cannot be normal beer. It can't be the old Budweiser, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Has to be craft beer. So now churches have breweries. I hate to mention this because I can see Tom Lex thinking, where can we start one? Where is a place? His mind starts running. Where is a place? Who'd you point to? Mike knows the place. Mike knows every crook and cranny, so yep, he's got the place. Wow. Well, I've already told you about stripper poles. And you say, that is retarded. When I saw that guy, by the way, he said he was an apostle. He didn't even need the Bible. God spoke to him. He said, but this gives women, I'm like, what kind of women are in your church? This gives women in our church a way of exercising their gifts. Whoa! I think I'm in the wrong place. Yay, yay, yay. Okay. Dancing? Is it okay to have some sacred dancing? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. When's the last time you read the Bible about sacred dancing? Have you ever seen it? I've seen it a couple times. It's like, hey, you know what we should do? We should do this. I can see it now. All the guys that look like me, Louie, Phil, you know, all of us small, thin guys, we will get in some leotards and do a sacred dance. Here it is. I can just see the whole church. Have you ever seen that? What is it from Norway? It's the painting's called The Scream. I can just see everybody going, ah! Oh, brother. Well, by the way, they don't have guys like, they don't have the wide bodies in this church doing this, do they? In your notes. They have dancing girls do this. And why are they dancing girls? Please tell me. Why? Because people like to look at girls. Yes. How about this one? Oh, people are not going to like me. Worship teams. I'll come back to that later. How about this one? Worship leaders. You say, Pastor Warren, don't you have a worship leader? I want to ask everybody a question. Let's see how smart we are tonight. Why do we have a pulpit in this church? So we have a place to put our Bible? Yes or no? No. Primary purpose of this is what? I'll just say this generally because we got kids here. It's to hide a certain portion of people's bodies. Uh-oh. But we liked it when girls are dancing. Worship teams. Wow. Worship leaders. You say, the other ones are for you to fill in because I don't know what's coming next. Please look at me, friend. Scripture alone regulates worship. If you don't find it in the Scripture, specifically the New Testament, what does that mean? You don't do it. You're liable to come up with any cockamamie idea. People are crazy today. Everything to have people come to a building and be religious. I asked the question in your notes. What are the two offices of a local church? You know, the ones that God instituted, ordained, and regulates by Scripture. Everyone look at me. What are the two offices? Not an adult. Teenagers. What are the two offices in a local church? Junior, what are the two offices in a local church? Deacons and pastors, my daughter's daughter. Deacons and pastors. And by the way, how do we know that, Junior? Because the Scripture does what? It ordains those offices. What else does it do? It gives you requirements for those offices, yes or no? Where's worship leader fit in? Every time I see these guys on television, sorry, Mike. They're a guy Mike's age, a little older than me, not dignified like Mike, but they all have not much hair. It's white, and it's in a ponytail, and they're in their flip-flops, and they look like they got lost in San Francisco back in about 1964 when they went to ask Alice about something. And some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And by the way, what kind of instrument is he playing? Why that? Okay. I asked you a question again. How many offices are there in the local church? How many? Anybody that stands behind a pulpit, look at me in the eyes, and leads. Anybody that's in leadership roles in a church who leads must fit into one of those two offices or meet the requirements of one of those two offices. So your three-time divorced fella ain't making it. And sorry, we don't have women preachers. Whether they're called women preachers or they're worship leaders who preach between every song. It's quiet in this room. Do you agree with that? Maybe. My least favorite edition of all, and Brian, you know where this comes from. This comes from Bowder. Look in your notes. I put it in a funny script. Bowder calls these the Watch Me worship teams. Why does he call them that? Look up here. They get up in a row. Most of them are girls or women. Besides the hippie that got lost somewhere and go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And some of you don't even know what that means. I'm sorry. I can't go there. You know, Gray Slick? Who's Gray Slick? Who's Jefferson Airplane? Just think drugs. You know what's tragic, my friend? The Watch Me worship team, look me in the eyes, could be stopped immediately by changing one little thing. Take the Watch Me worship team, put it in the balcony. Just let them sing. So you don't have to do what? And the moment you ain't watching them, they're not doing these things. Have you ever wondered why they're doing that? Because you're supposed to be watching them worship. I have no problem with having a group that sings. We could do it here. You can sing right up there. But the moment they were up there where you couldn't see them, they would stop all of the stupid. Yes or no? Because they're doing the stupid because you're watching them worship. And it gets to be ridiculous. I'm like, what are they? I sometimes turn these Christian things on just to, like, if I had time, I would bring you rock concerts and Christian worship, and you turn down the sound, and guess what you see? They're the same. Except, well, they're not the same because the music's worse in the Christian thing. None of them can play guitar. Most of them can't sing. Oh, Lord, help me. So I asked a question in your notes. How can we fix the Watch Me worship team? I'm going to be honest with you. I would prefer for our groups. It's not really possible here. It's too difficult to pull off. I wouldn't mind the choir singing up there, but I haven't figured out a place for Tim to stand. He's very talented, but I don't think he can stand in the middle of the air. There's a oh, we'll put him on the ledge, and if it's bad that night, push him off. Put him in a oh, please. Yes. You got the harness. I think I'm going to be out of country. What did he say? I'm going to be out of country this new year again on purpose. We've been here past my 35 minutes. Please look at me. I'm done. Look at me. It's just simple. Scripture alone does what? Whatever is not commanded by commands, teaching, or examples is forbidden. We worship God in the way God tells us to worship Him. I want to say this in me down. And here's the beauty of this. We can take what we did tonight. Listen to me. We can take what we've done tonight. What have we done? We've prayed. We've been doing some singing to the Lord. Yes. We've given to the Lord. We've read Scripture. We've explained some Scripture. We're applying some Scripture. Do you know what, Cliffy? You can take this to the farthest place in the Philippines you can imagine. Some island off of Negros. It's the island off the island off the island, you know? Where there's 500 people, you can take this kind of Christianity and take it there because it's portable. You don't have to have a sound system. You don't have to have dancing girls. People get saved, guess what they do? They come together, they pray together, they sing together, they give together, they hear the word together, they read the word together, they observe the ordinances together. What we do can be transferred all around the world. Try it if you're in a place without electricity. What do you do with the rock band? Let's stand.